Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh boy. What a great morning. What a great way to start off, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, the songs were beautiful. Look, today is challenging. You get my heart outside this morning, you see the rain and the wind. And look, it'll test your character. Do you want to get out? Huh? It'll test you if you want to make the drive or not 2 hours away. Huh? That's a ride. So look, this is a challenging morning. Well, you know what Paul said, I'm persuaded that nothing is able to keep me. Especially from his appointed time today. All right, we're going to get started here. Brand new Torah portion. Well, the word was wonderful last night.
Amen.
And I needed to hear it.
Amen.
But this, I always like to start off with the very first one. Y'all come on in. You're right on time. Yeah. It's great to see family from other churches have come out to visit. I tell you, it's always a pleasure. It's exciting. It gives me that more pumped up. All right. It's understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes, his desires. What is your desire this morning? Is our desire his desire? I'm going to show you that to the word this morning as we get started. Y'all got to bear with me because we got 700 slides and 7 chapters to go through. So it's going to be a good day. Oh, Vayera. The topic of our Torah portion is, and he appeared. Welcome, welcome. How many of you know at the time in our life, in your life, that he appeared?
Amen.
And you'll be glad that he did.
Amen.
Because we were stuck where? In the iron furnace.
Yes.
We couldn't get out. We needed a Savior. I don't know about y'all, but I did.
Yes.
I was stuck.
Yes.
This thing will get you emotional too.
Yes.
You got to hang on. And he appeared. It comes from a root word, ra'ah. Strong's H7200. Present oneself to be seen, to be visible. Trust me, he sees you. He sees where you're at every day, every night, on and off the job, wherever you are. He sees you in the car, at the grocery store. He sees. Trust me, he's not slumber. He ain't slacked. I want to get started. I'm trying to control it because I know where I'm going with all this. And it's been welling up. Pastor gave us all this a whole month ahead of time, so this has all just been welling up. Well, our text is Bereshit in Genesis chapter 18. And Yehovah appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre while he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, for y'all, let me catch everybody else up to speed. We know that last Torah portion, Lake Laka, all what he went through, and as a man that's 99 years old, he's circumcised. So you makes you wonder why he's sitting in the front of the tent door in the heat of the day just to relax, to find a comfortable spot. And let me tell you, not only him, his son, his 318 men, they're all having to and go through this pain. And look, you're going to go through pain in life. But what are we here for? What did you come out to see? For sure, not to see me. You're here because you love him. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we gather on his Shabbat when he says for us to gather. But one thing I can't, and Yehovah appeared. But I got to go back one verse. This is from last week. I have a hard time, not have a hard time. We need to know who we're dealing with. In chapter 17, verse 1, and it came to be when Avram was 99 years old that Yehovah appeared to him, to Avram, and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Now look, that El Shaddai is almighty, all powerful. Look, what is he to you? When he appears, we're going to see what he appeared to him. Nowhere, like never before. What an encounter Avram had with Yehovah. And I just love that verse of scripture. I appeared to him as El Shaddai, the Almighty. While he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked and saw three men standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, Yehovah, if I have now found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by your servant. Tell you. What an encounter right here. But you see, when we read this, we know that scripture says he's not a man. So how do we fix this? What a great sight that he stood before him. And he's saying he looked up his eyes and saw three men. Well, we know what the scripture says. We know he's not a man. He's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we gotta do something with that. Because people will say, well, he's a man. And look, he's standing right here. Even to the point where he's going to eat a meal. But what an encounter. Let me just... All this is when you're sitting on your couch at your house and you're right now and you're taking all these notes. I tell you, it's just so much to deal with. It's not that it's overwhelming. It's incredible. It's beautiful. It really is. But Avram has never had an encounter. Nowhere in Scripture have you ever seen this kind of encounter from Yehovah. Now, we have some recordings in Scripture that you heard the voice of Yehovah. You heard the messenger of Yehovah. But to have an actual Yah come down to be face to face with Elohim. Man, what an encounter. And Bereshit, look, y'all can just write these down. I'm just going to just elaborate on them. In Bereshit 3:8, Adam heard the voice of Yehovah walking in the cool of the day. In chapter 5, verse 22, the scripture said that Enoch walked with Elohim. In Bereshit chapter 12, Yehovah appeared to Avram. We just had that in our last Torah portion in Lake Laka. In chapter 15, verse 1, the word of Avram, the word of Yehovah came to Avram in a vision. So we see all these encounters. In verse 7 of chapter 15, a smoking oven and a burning torch. What a sight that must have been. Huh? Can you imagine? And where was he? That frightening darkness was all around Avram. And it's all around today. That frightening darkness is still here. It hasn't been dealt with in its fullness right now. Because it's still here. But we know one day it's coming. When it's going to be light and just light. Revelation says there's going to be no need for the sun. There's not going to be no need for the moon, for the stars, nothing to shine. Because the glory of Yehovah is going to shine. There's going to be no need for buildings. Ain't going to need none of that. You're going to be with the master himself. And what a day that's going to be. What an encounter. It's face to face like Avram is having right now. In chapter 16, verse 7, 9, and 10, a messenger of Yehovah speaks to Hagar. In chapter 17, verse 1, one of my favorite ones, and Yehovah appeared to Avram as El Shaddai. Man, what a day that was. You know, when Yah's having these encounters. Now, I've went back and look at some of these, the terebinth and Mamre and some of these root words. But I believe he was sitting there meditating on Yehovah. About, can you imagine just waiting? Because everything up to this point, Abraham's being tested. His faith is being tested. His walk is being tested. And you're no different. I'm no different. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested in areas where you think you're the man, but you're not. Or you think you're the woman, but you're not. And that test is going to come. It comes to all of us daily. But he said, I'm not going to put more on you than you can even bear. He knows. He knows that we're just flesh and we're just mortal men. Even when you read down with Avram, he said, I'm going to speak to Yahweh just one more time because let him not be angry with me because I'm just dust. We see that out of Avram's mouth. But he's sitting there learning in the tent door. And it's in the heat of the day. And sitting is Yashab. It's H3427. It's where we get a root word yeshiva from. It's a place of learning. And we're going to see that we're going to leave from here, because we got to go see the words of the master. I went back in my notes, and since we've been in Lake Laka, and we was in there for a little while, we've read Paul's notes. We read what Yehovah he got at Abraham from 75 years old. Now he's 99, 100. He didn't even have a child yet. But he's telling me, look, just hold on to my word. That's what he keeps reading. That's why Abraham needs this encounter. He needs it, but what an encounter he had. Because why? 25 years of his life, but now he's pushing 100. And a child's going to be, I'm going to still have a child? Wow. All right. So now let's go to John. Because after all, these are the words that matter. It's the words of the master. He said, because my words, they're spirit and they're life. This is what we need to hear. All these songs, they were great. And I love them this morning. And you say, what does this got to do with the Torah portion? Well, we're going to read and find out. Because I got 100 verses to read. Oh boy. And Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives. I'm chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to take it from the top. And we all know the story, but we got to see where it fits in the Torah portion. And at dawn, he came again to the set apart place. And all the people were coming to him. And having sat down, he was teaching them. Wow, didn't I just say about Abraham? He's sitting, waiting. Man, we can learn a lot. Look, we need Abraham. You know, without Abraham, there's a bunch of empty seats in here. Because you are the descendant from Abraham. If you don't believe that, go do your own homework. But I believe what the scripture says. And scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now you can see that's shady already. But how do you know Yeshua? He knows the scripture. How do you know he's swift to hear but slow to speak? Because right away, if that had been one of us, what do you mean? Where's the guy at? Oh, where's the guy at? Not the other guy, I'm sorry. That came out wrong. I'm sorry. Where's the husband at? Or where's the boyfriend? If you caught the woman in the act, okay. Sorry about that. Oh, man. Swift to hear, slow to speak. This woman was caught in an act of adultery. And in the Torah of Moshe, Moshe commanded us that such should be stoned. What then do you say? Now look, we've all been caught in the act of adultery, spiritually. We all deserve the stone. What then do you say? And this they said, trying him, so that they might accuse him. But Yeshua, bending down, wrote on the ground with the finger as though he did not hear. Now this is the scripture's Bible. And this part right here, excuse me, that says, with the finger, we have to be careful. Because we are pretty much adults in here, I sure hope so, that we know what with the finger means down here. So, I had to read a little something here, because we don't want to get the scriptures twisted, that he wrote on the ground with the finger. That's two words that we have to, when we have to take in consideration when we read the scripture. One is exegesis, one is eisegesis. So let me give you the definition of that. Exegesis is legitimate and interpretation which reads out of the text what the original author or authors meant to convey. Eisegesis, on the other hand, reads into the text what the interpreter wishes to find or thinks he finds there. It expresses the reader's own subjective ideas. So don't think that Yeshua was, I'm not going to do it in front of y'all, we're doing that with that finger, giving him a sign. Nah, that's not how it was. Not the meaning which is in the text. So I believe what he did, he just, using his finger, was writing in the on the ground, as he was saying. But people can take that. He said, you see? So I just thought that was something. But you got to understand, this is translation that we're dealing with. So we have to take all this in consideration. But let's let the text say what it says. Let's not go no further than that. But as they kept on questioning him. Now, one thing we've learned, especially our congregation, we learned that the word comes in three phases. Fire, the sword, and the hammer. And I'm going to show you that Yeshua, in this text, he uses all three. And the fire is about to start. Because why? They kept on questioning him. See, it wasn't enough that he's just right on the ground acting like he's not paying attention to him. He hears, trust me. He has ears to hear. But they sound like a little, probably like a little gnat, a little ringing in his ear to him, but it's noise. He straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Go ahead. Throw a stone. That's what he's saying. If you're without the sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. But they said this to try him. So look, he was up against it. Just like you'll be up against it. And when they heard it, being reproved in their conscience, poof, the fire just lit. Because now he's going to let them know that my words, they matter what he said. Why are you even questioning him? Because they were questioning his authority. They wanted to see if he was really the Messiah like he said he was. They were being reproved, and when they heard it, being reproved by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the older ones until the last. And Yeshua was left alone, and the woman standing in the middle. And Yeshua straightening up, and seeing no one but the woman, said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Where are they at? Did no one condemn you? And she said, no one, master. And Yeshua said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Because if anybody had a right to throw a stone, it was him. He could have. But then he would have broke the... Because he knew this was not the right place. Not the right... Because why? Judgment starts at the gate. He's in a set-apart place. He knew better. He knows this was all nothing but a trick. Therefore, Yeshua said to them again, see, the fire is still going. Yeah, it ain't over. I can imagine just this day right here going by. Saying, I am the light of the world. He also said that you are the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness. So I can assure you, if you're following him, if you're saying what he says, if you're acting, your character is acting the way his character would act. Because you don't measure to me, you measure to him. He said, you won't walk. You're not walking in darkness. I'm sure he didn't walk in darkness. Even though he was around, you might be in the world, but you're not a part of it. But the darkness around, you better believe it. It was there with Abraham. The scripture says, and yet till Yehovah passed through the part, darkness was there. We read that in the text. But possesses the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness about yourself. Your witness is not true. And here we go. The fire is... It's getting hotter. Instead of getting hotter, you can notice, as we go down to this text, you're going to see it getting hotter to the point where the sword comes out. And we're going to get to that. I'm just trying to go do it slow. Yeshua answered and said to them, even if I witness concerning myself, my witness is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going, but you do not know from where I come or where I go. And they probably scratching their head like, what is this? We know where he's from. We know his mom and daddy. But he's telling them, you don't know. And how many people today think they know? They say they follow him, but they're really not. And we're going to see that because we're getting to it. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And we learn about that. When we don't make righteous right judgment, this is how we judge. We judge by the sight of our eyes, by the hearing of our ears. But he said he doesn't do that. We just read this morning in the Shema. He does just the opposite of what we do. That's why we have to pay attention. Listen closely to his words. He's going to tell us that. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true. Because I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. And in your Torah also, it has been written that the witness of two men is true. So it's in there. Is it? He says, I can choose it, in your Torah. Well, it's in his too. Trust me, that's not two Torahs. Whether which, as a man made one, as a little T-Torah, that Shaul talks about in his members, in his flesh. But this is not the one when Yeshua was talking about. I am one who witnesses concerning myself, and the Father who sent me witnesses concerning me. Therefore, they said to him, where is your Father? Yeshua answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also. Well, you can see now, by this time, it's starting to get a little warm. Believe me, it's getting a little warm. You come behind this little podium here, it gets a little warm. Ask Brother Rob, he'll tell you about it. It does get a little warm here. Well, what we got to remember? What we got to remember what Yaakov said in chapter 1, verse 19. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. That's what the scripture tells us. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. He said these things. I am one who witnesses, I know I just read this, concerning myself, and the Father who sent me witnesses concerning me. Therefore they said to him, where is your Father? Yeshua answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, teaching in the set-apart place, and no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Now last night, you know, my wife and I, after service, I don't know if any of y'all might have watched The Chosen. And let me tell you, it's a good, pretty decent little series. I really enjoyed watching it. And we got to the part last night where, and I think I may have even put it in my notes. Yeah. And you get to the part where he's talking about in Luke, the fourth chapter. And he stood up to read. And he said, and he's letting them know that I'm the anointed one. The Spirit is upon me. And he's letting them know about that. And after you read that, the movies, I mean, they did a very good job. He rolls up the scroll back up. He sets down. And all eyes are fastened on him. And he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Then they start questioning. And they go through all the, you know, the text. You read the story. Then what did they do? They take him after they were so, didn't want to hear the truth. But he testified concerning the truth. So what they do, they want to take him and throw him outside to the cliff and really push him off the cliff where the set-apart place was built in Jerusalem. I looked at that man. I tell you what, that was great stuff. And you know what he did? He told the guys that this ain't going to happen today. And he walked right by. Why? Because the time hadn't come yet. That's what the scripture says. So he goes right past him. And I tell you, and then they had the next scene on there where before all that, the woman with the issue of blood. They played that scene. Let me tell you, if you ever watch that scene from that time, then when he's on his way to go heal Jairus' daughter because she's dying in the bed, it'll make you weep. Damn, it brought tears to my eye. My wife was like, can you imagine? I can't imagine. Having the master himself, being able right there in their presence, huh? face to face with the Master himself, just like Abraham was in the face of Jehovah. Man, what a tell you, if you've never seen it, just go watch that little section. I promise you. It'll move you. At least it did her, it meant my wife and I. Therefore Yeshua said to them again, I am going away, and you shall seek me, and you shall come, and you shall die in your sin. Where I go, you're unable to come. I'll be right there. That's when he got his hands on his sheath on that sword, because he let him know there's about to be a separation here. But the sin, let me just go back to it. This the first one, when he told the lady, if you're without this sin, go ahead and throw the stone. That is, that word sin right there, without sin, is G361. Now let me just practice these. You try to say them, but well, Greek is just so tough. Amartartos. G361. Look, I'm going to do my best, Phil. But it's to be without sin. That's why he made that statement. But sin right here, what he's talking about is hamateo. It's G264. It means to miss the mark. To be without a share in. A share in what? In the covenant that Abraham made, that Yehovah made with Abraham. Y'all, we have land over there in Israel that I've never set foot on. I believe today that I'm a descendant of that covenant of Abraham, and I can't wait to get my peace. Valuable. And I can tell you what, y'all ain't giving up to nobody, no matter what's going on over there in Israel. You can keep up with it if you like. Look, I'm not against it, because the truth has been so watered down. But I tell you what, it's out there. Truth is always going to be truth. You can find it. It'll do a lot of digging, but you can find it. To be mistaken, to err, to miss or wander from the path. The scripture warns us about that. There's a way that seems right, but the end is death. When you stray from the path, it happened because the scripture said all we like sheep have gone astray. I have. To wander from the law of God. When you've gone that far, to wander from his word, it's tough to get back. Believe me. Been there. It's where we get another root word, haratia. And it's G266, that which is done wrong, sin and offense, violation of the divine law. Collectively, the complex or aggregate of sins committed by a single person or by many. This is what happened if you stray from his word, when you deviate from what he told Abraham. I'm El Shaddai, walk before me and be perfect, he told him. How do you do that? Obey. That's all. That's all you ever ask for, your obedience, your attention. When you come to the yeshiva, And your own personal yeshiva. It don't have to be always in this place, because this place we gather here once a week. But you're the yeshiva of set apart spirit. You're that dwelling place that he wants to come and minister word to you every day of your life. But if you deviate from that word, I'm gonna tell you right now, he can't use you. We can sing all the songs, we can do all we want to do. He can't use you. If you won't pay attention, you won't abide in his word. There you go, the fire is still going. Verse 21, therefore Yeshua said to them again, I am going away, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sin. Not sins, sin. They don't have to be many. It can be just one that you deal with in your lifetime. Where I go, you are unable to come. Then the Yehudim said, shall he kill himself because he says, where I go, you are unable to come? That's carnal mind thinking right there. They don't understand, like Jackie Chan says, don't you understand the word come out of my mouth? This is what Yeshua is screaming at them. Because we don't pay attention when we should be paying attention. We get involved in other things that distract us. That's why when he went to the movie, on the movie last night, we watched it. When he came to the house, they were playing the flute and making noise and yah, whatever they do. You know, he said, put them out and close the door. We don't need no distractions. And sometimes we have to do that in our lives. We have to close the door. And sometimes closing the door, it may be on family. It may be on friends. Or sometimes you close the door just for yourself. Wow, you need that quiet time with him, one-on-one. You need that face-to-face, that panim, el panim, just you and him. But after all, this is what matters. He said to them, you are from below. See the separation now. The sword's out. The fire is still burning. He's got the sword in his hand. He said, you are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of the world. Huh? Well, didn't he tell us that? You're in it, but you're not a part of it. You don't have to be a part of it. You know? Why? Because that darkness is out there in the world. It's frightening darkness. And look, it can latch on to you. Look, soap and water don't wash it off. You need the water of the washing by the word. That's what gets it off. That's the only thing that can keep it off. But if you keep leaving that channel open, just a little... He said, let him that stole steal no more. If you just leave just a crack for the enemy, he'll use it. He just want to be able to just put a piece of the wedge in there. Why? Because a little leaven, remember, leaven is the whole lump. You don't need all of it. You just need a little bit of it. Oh, boy. He said, this is in the Torah portion? Yeah, why? It's coming. Because why? We haven't got to the hammer yet. And nobody wants the hammer. But look, it comes. It comes along with the fire, and it comes along with the sword. And Yeshua is the master, he wields all three at one time. Therefore I say to you that you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now we see it in a plural form, because now there's a bunch of them. He's exposing. That's what happens when the fire starts burning, the swords get with it, start exposing. And then they said to him, who are you? What do you mean? We are in the 8th chapter of John. Anyone know who I am? Well, let's look, y'all hold your place, because I got my deal here. Then I can flip-flop back and forth. I can assure you he's the same guy that's right here in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and according to his practice, he went into the congregation on the Sabbath day. Now, I have a lot of controversy with family about this day, because they want to believe that it's tomorrow. This day is tomorrow. But he said the seventh day he blessed and he sanctified it. How do I know that? Because he did it from the beginning. He didn't tell you go make a day. He's already made a day for a man. You have to remember to keep it. That's why it's in there. And stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu was handed to him. And having unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written. Who is he? I'm reading to you who he is in the very first chapter. In chapter 4 of the book of Luke. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me because he's anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away the crushed ones with the release, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. And having rolled the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the congregation was fixed upon him. Who is he? He's that one right there. And they said to him, who are you? Well, I thought you knew who he was. You knew his mother, you knew his daddy, Joseph, that's all you knew. That's all they could see. And Yeshua said to them, altogether, that which I even say to you, I have much to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. Now every time I see this true comes up, he's going to mention truth a lot in this passage of scripture. And what I heard of him, these words I speak to the world. To the world. He's speaking truth to the world. And you can't even hear it. And this is what we do. We do our best here at Faith Temple to speak truth to the world. Because why? This is what the Master did. So if I'm going to follow, he said, we're not going to walk in darkness. We're going to speak truth. This is what he said. They did not know that he spoke to them of the Father. So Yeshua said to them, when you lift up the son of Adam, this is that last song we just sang, when you lift him up, it reminded me of that. He deserved all the glory, all the power. You're lifting him up. And this is what he said. When you lift up the son of Adam, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do none at all of myself, but that the Father taught me, these words I speak. We have to let the Father sometimes, his set-apart spirit, teach. Why? He teaches you all things. Trust me, when you sit at home, I got 10th grade education. I have to depend upon him to teach me. Not according to what I learned here, but I have to take what I know and go home and say, okay, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to read? Because when you do it all of your own accord, you're going to know. That's what he said. If I witness by myself, you're going to know. But my witness is true. He was speaking his words. Oh, amen. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Now, what was that? You remember that very first slide? Knowing what he likes and what he dislikes. Are we doing what pleases him this morning, today, tomorrow? After Shabbat's over, are you still going to please him? There was something that was said last night, and I had to go add in here, because when you're not pleasing him, I'm going to show you what the scripture says, not what Scott here to tell you. In 2 Timothy 2, let's start at verse 24. The latter end of it, because we have to know his desires. Because if you don't desire what he desires, where's your desire going to? Or who is it going, where's it going to go? Because if you're not desiring what he likes, if you don't like what he likes, let me just read it. If you don't like what he likes and hate what he hates and say what he says, you can't be on his side and be on that side. And a servant of the master should not quarrel, but be gentle towards all, able to teach, patient when wrong. There's some great principles right here we need to learn. Last night when he read that, I was blown away by it because I needed to hear that. In meekness, instructing those who are in opposition. Because you're going to have these encounters, I promise you. Lest somehow Elohim give them repentance unto a through knowledge of the truth. Look, you drift so far, it takes Elohim to get you back. I can attest to that. I drifted a long ways. It had not been for a funeral and Elohim speaking, I'd still be drifting. And they came to their senses out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to him to do his desires. So you're going to do one or the other. You're either going to do desire of the Father or you're going to do desire of the devil. It's just point blank. You're not going to be halfway on the fence on right and halfway on the fence of wrong. He says you're going to be in the house or you're out the house. You're in the fence or you're outside the fence. What did he tell Moshe? We haven't even got to that yet. He said, put a fence up, a guard around the mountain. And I don't care what touches it. Man, human, beast, animal, they'd be shot, you'd be stoned or shot through an arrow. Why? Because there's a fence right there. And if you go beyond that, he gives his word, his instruction in the Torah. If you go outside of that, the punishment can be severe. You may or may not return. It's up to him. We don't make the choices.
Let me go back. I don't want to get off track. I mean, we got so much that I feel like I'm missing, but
it all sounds good when you're sitting on the couch and you're preaching to yourself or to the dog. We got a little four-legged friend, and look, she's beautiful. She loves listening. I don't get too many amens from her, but I know she's listening. Oh, boy.
And he who sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him.
That's a great statement. He always does what pleases him. And that's the same attitude we should have daily. You know what? We're human. We are. And that's why that verse of scripture is in there. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father who's faithful and just. He is. To forgive us of our sin. And cleanse you from why? From the word, from your unrighteousness. Because you're going to make an unrighteous act. You're going to say something. Someone's going to cross you. Or maybe not. Maybe you're the autotheos without sin. I don't know. And he was speaking these words. Many believed in him. So Yeshua said to those Yehudim who believe in him, if you stay in my word, you are truly my taught one. If you minnow, and we learned that word a long time ago. That's one word this church shouldn't forget. We have to stay in him. Minnow, abide in him. Because why? Outside of him, what is that? I've been out there. There's nothing that's going to satisfy you like him. You have to stay in the word. And that's G3306, minnow. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we this is what we aim to please every time we come here. This is one of our missions. We aim to please, to not just please him, but speak the truth. Why? Because it sets you free. Truth will set you free. But listen to what fleshly mind. Now, we're getting close to the hammer, I can assure you. They answered him, we are the seed of Abraham. Now, who we started out with? Abraham. How much we need Abraham? Look, when you disconnect from the Old Testament, that some people know, or the Torah, we like to say, how are you going to teach this, what Yeshua is talking about? You ain't going to have a clue who Abraham is. Is that important? We need this. We are the seed of Abraham and have been servants to no one at any time. How do you say you shall become free? We were all spiritually lost. We were all in Mitzrayim. Because he tells that in chapter 17, he tells Abraham, 15, I'm sorry, when he makes the covenant with him, he said, your people are going to be enslaved for over 400 years. He told him that. And we were there. You and I were part of that. We might have been there physically, but in 2024 today, you're spiritually, you're there. We need a Savior. How do you say you shall become free? Because we were in bondage. Yeshua answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone doing sin is a servant of sin. Now, this is not something we go out and practice. He's just letting you know. If you're operating outside the guidelines of the Torah, it's sin. That's what it is. There's no other way to put it. If he says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it. Now, if you wake up and say, oh, man, I forgot, you know what? Hurry up and get dressed and get over here. I'd rather have you late than not at all. Because if you can deliberately break his word, what else you'll do. Maybe you, when we get down here, maybe he's going to mention about murder. Maybe you take it that far outside of his word. And he answered him, "We are the seed of Abraham have not been servants to no one at any time. How do you say you shall become free?" Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone doing sin is a servant of sin." This is what happens. When it lays a hold of you, you become a servant to it. So you're a slave to it. A servant does not stay in a house forever. A son stays forever. Now last night, we heard about that all. And I already had this in my notes. I showed it to my wife and I told it to Brother Rob. This was just confirmation that we're on the same page. Because trust me, you think he knows the word? Let me just hold your place right there. And let me go to Exodus, chapter 21. I can promise you, he didn't throw away his Torah. He knew it. "These are the right rulings which you are to set before them." Now, we had this already, but we haven't got to this point of our teaching yet. "When you buy a Hebrew servant, he serves you 6 years, and in the 7 years, he goes out free for naught." I tell you what. I really wish that was today, because man, I'd be free from my job right now. That's the way I want. Look, that's exegete, that's eisegete in the scripture right there. Because I'd be a free man. But you know, I still got to work.
Oh.
But I served my company 6 years already, 7 years now. So I think they owe me back pay. Oh. "If he comes in by himself, he goes out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife," there's a difference right now, "and she has borne him sons and daughters." So if you and your wife, you come in, you give your service to her, you and your wife, y'all can leave whenever y'all want to. She's your property. But if he gives you one, because you had none, "and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her husband and children are her master's." They're not yours. Even though you may have borne them, and he's given you a wife, they're not yours. They're his. They belong to the master. You belong to the master. If you confess with him, and you follow him, and you walk in his, you belong to the master. And otherwise, you can't walk in the light and profess to say, "Well, I'm his." Because we're going to get to that. We're going to see where the hammer is going to come out. "And he goes out by himself. And if the servant truly says," this is one of my favorite sayings, "I love my master." Now he could have said right here, "I love my wife and children." But he says, "I love my master." Do you love your master? Or you love him enough to where he's going to say, "Well, let me not go out free. Because I love my master. I love my wife and my children, but I love my master." "Then his master shall bring him before Elohim and shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and then his master shall pierce his ear with an awl and he shall serve him part-time." Forever. Forever. Huh? I'm just checking to see if y'all up to date. I was just checking. Forever. How long? How long is forever? Forever. Until your time expires, you serve him forever. But why? Because you love your master. I don't know about you, but I love my master. And I'm going to do my best to serve him forever. Until he returns, or till the breath leaves and goes back to him, I'm going to serve him forever. This is our attitude. That's now you can say you're following him. Back to John. "If then the sons make you free, you shall be free indeed." You ain't going nowhere because you're nailed to the doorpost. But if the son makes you free, and you're free indeed, you're not free to go around and do what you want. Because you belong to him. He bought you. He bought you by his own blood. He bought you. He bought me by his blood. You're no longer your own. If we can get that.
See, the Son makes you free. You're free indeed. And let me show you why. In Matthew 28, you can just write them down. I'm going to read them to you. Matthew 28, 18. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So if the Son makes you free, you're free. Why? Because all authority has been given to him. This is what he said. Therefore, go out, go and make taught ones of all the nation, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the set apart Spirit. Teach them, this is the key, teach them to guard all that I have commanded you. And see, I am always with you until the end of the age. Amen. This is what he said. Why? Because all power and all authority has been given unto him. You can't get around that. If you try to get in last night through the door, what he said you are? None but a thief or a robber. Because you only come in through one door. There's only one way into this. Back to John. I just want, you know, I kind of just kind of show you these little points, what he's preaching here to this crowd. Because they don't understand his words, remember? Who are you? Well, he's telling them. Verse 35, okay. If that the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are the seed of Abraham, but you seek to kill me. Now, we never read, we were in the last Torah portion, I never read one time where Abraham tried to kill anybody, except when he had to go rescue Lot. He was in battle. Well, in battle, you're going to have casualties. You're going to have loss in battle. But just to go out and try to murder someone? Nah, you never seen that from Abraham. But this is what they did. They tried. Many times they tried. Because my word has no place in you. You don't understand what I'm saying. You have ears to hear, but don't hear. You have eyes to see, but don't see. Oh boy, I better stay on the trail. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen, what you have heard from your Father. Ah, here comes the hammer. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Okay. Yeshua said to them, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. Now, what were the works of Abraham? Let me go back to the refresher right here for y'all. And he lifted up his eyes and looked and saw three men standing, chapter 18, verse 2, opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground and said, Yehovah, if I have now found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by your servant. What are the works of Abraham? Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And let me bring a piece of bread and refresh your hearts and then go on, for this is why you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. Hospitality. Abraham, in despite of all what had just happened to him at 99 years old, he's showing hospitality. He's waiting for an encounter of Yehovah. Waiting. Because why? 25 years passed and still no child. But we know that by time next week, we're about to have a baby. So... Yeah, we gotta wait. We gotta wait one more week before we have the baby. We're not gonna get on that today. Oh boy. If Abraham were your father, Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Show hospitality. Now, we're also gonna get into the part about Sodom and Amorah. And you know, when you think about these two cities, because we're going to get into it, because Abraham gets some tough words to Yehovah in the conversation. It blew my mind. But you know that Sodom and Amorah, and that's I'm going to kind of just cheat a little bit for next week.
It was more than just about sexual immorality. It's about what the way they treated the people when they came to town. You can go look at some of these other writings and other books, how they would just rob people and beat them to death and mistreat them. We can go find these things. So it's more than just what we just read or what we've been taught all our lives. Because that's what I was taught. Because they're so wicked, this was all about sexual immorality. I never knew it was more than that. That's why he said, go do as what you said. You want to show? You want to be hospitality? Show hospitality. You treat others the same way you expect to be treated. But what they were doing was wrong. And we don't see in the scripture where Yehovah, when he's speaking one-on-one, we don't see where he said, I'm going to destroy them. But Abraham knew that judgment was coming. And look, when you have faith-to-faith encounter with Yehovah, judgment comes. We have to be prepared for it. He said, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken to you the truth. He's still speaking truth to them. Which I heard from Elohim. Abraham did not do this. Abraham never deliberately wanted to go out and take life. And we definitely sure in today's time we don't want to do that. I can't even think of that. You do the works of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of whoring. We have one father, Elohim. Now, I can. This is the part where the hammer is coming out. Because not only you claim Abraham your father, now you're saying that Elohim is your father? Oh boy. Yeshua said to them, if Elohim were your father, you would love me. For I came forth from Elohim and am here. Where was he in Luke? He was letting them know, I'm here. That's that verse of scripture. Right? I'm here letting you know I'm here because the Spirit is upon me. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. But why do you not know what I say? Why don't you understand the word coming out of my mouth? Because you are unable to hear my word. All they saw him as a carpenter's son. That's all they knew about him. And that's how they judge. We judge people. That's all you see. Look, when we get on the boat, when I'm working, they say, hey, Cap, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. And we introduce ourselves. I said, my name is Scott. How y'all doing? But look, everybody knows me as Spider. So a lot of people, when they see me today, look, they know me as Spider. And I'm fine with that. That's not my name, but that's how I identify myself. And look, and I'm cool with it. But this is what he's saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm he. We're not talking about me here and here. We're talking about him. You of your father, the devil. That's blunt. He let them know right there. The fire was burning, the separation came, and now the hammer. All in one chapter. And the desire of your father, you wish to do. This is what happens when you leave the foundation of Scripture and try to build on another foundation. You're going to do somebody else's desire, what Paul instructed Timothy. I heard that last night. It's clicked, and I said, "But let me go check on these desires." And his first, his likes and his dislikes. It all ties. It all fits. You have to just leave it there and let the word minister to you. He was a murderer from the beginning, and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, he's a murderer from the beginning. I mentioned this one time during our Bible studies. When he deceived Eve, and he put that seed of doubt in her mind, he spoke the lie, you won't die. You'll be as Elohim. A lie. One lie. And here, years later, this is where we're at. You know how he's been lying ever since? It's been a lie from the beginning. And he's a murderer, because when you can talk somebody into doing something against Yehovah's word, it makes you a murderer. You just basically spiritually just suicide that thought into that person. He's a murderer from the beginning. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me? Wow. Who of you proves me wrong concerning sin? They always, every day, from the time he was able to start speaking in the synagogue, they was trying to prove him wrong. They were looking for a way to catch him. And if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? Because you know why? They don't love their master. They didn't want to have their ears pierced. You have to be willing to sit by the... I love my master. You have to be willing to go, okay, master, take my ear. And when he strikes back on that hammer, are you going to hold up. Are you going to trust him enough the way he strikes that nail or that whatever he used at all to pet? Are you going to trust him enough to him to pierce you to the doorpost? As a public display. Now, this wasn't done in secret. When he hung on that cross, it was for a public display for everyone to see.
Yes, hallelujah.
So this was not done in secret. So when you nail to that post of here, there's nothing that's done in secret. He wanted people to know, he's mine. You're mine. He's mine. Because why? I love my master.
Hallelujah.
Verse 47. He who is of Elohim hears the words of Elohim. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of Elohim. That's why. Because you won't sit long enough to hear the whole matter. That's a problem we have in the church world, because we won't listen to the whole matter. We won't sit long enough to listen. We have to be willing to put all aside. And be taught, no matter if he's a college professor up here, or if he just got, look, like our pastor said, he come off the pass. He ain't graduated. I mean, he graduated. He didn't go to college. You don't have a college degree. So if you think you come here to hear a college degree speaking, I'm the wrong guy. You have to be led by his spirit. You have to be taught by him. The Yehudim answered and said to him, did we not say well to you that you are a Shamaroni and you have a demon? Now, we heard that last night in John 10. Talking about you have a demon. Really? Yeshua answered, I do not have a demon, but I value my Father. And you do not value me, because you won't listen. You can see, boy, in the French, we would say, boy, a tête d'or, got a hard head. That's what that is. I mean, I'm telling you. And we, look, there's people out there like that. I was one of them. I'm sure at one time you might have been one of them. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. I do not seek my own esteem. There is one who is seeking and is judging. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone guards my word, he shall never see death at all. Now, here we go. Here we go, because they don't understand the words coming out of his mouth. We're going to see the controversy here. The Yehudim said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone guards my word, he shall never taste death at all. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself? Who are you? That's what they're asking. They still don't get it up to this point. They still don't get it. Now look. At this time of Yeshua's life, Revelation ain't written. He is the New Testament. So let me show you something right here. Because I promise you, he knew this word before it was even written. Now let me get to here, Revelations Chapter 20. And I'm going to start at verse 4. And this is John speaking, who are we reading about John? This is his writing. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was given to them, and the lives of those who had been beheaded because of the witness they bore to Yeshua, and because of the word of Elohim, and who did not worship the beast, nor his image, and did not receive his mark upon their foreheads or upon their hands, and they live and reign with Messiah for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Can you imagine when he comes? Doesn't matter if you're beheaded for the gospel. Look, we read stuff like that, we get fearful. It doesn't matter. He said, I'm with you until the end. I just read it to you a little while, just a minute ago. And the rest of the dead did not come until life, until the 1,000 years were in, the rest of the dead. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and set apart is the one having part in the first resurrection. How important are his words? And we better sit in his, in any chance we get to sit in his yeshiva and pay attention and listen. And let the words just minister and come in and break up that fallow ground for what? So seed can be sown. That's what he called you to do. Go out and make taught ones. Go sow seed. This is all he's asking you to do. The second death possesses no authority over thee. What did he say? You're not going to die. Because why? You're in that first resurrection. You have the power because he's there with you. So they don't know that he knows this word. Before it was even written by John, he knows this word. I'm just showing it to you. Possess no authority over these. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Can you imagine? So we think that 60, 70, 80 years old, 1,000 years. Time doesn't matter, Yehovah. And what a day that's going to be. So don't you think he knows the words? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Whom do you make yourself? Yeshua answered, if I esteem myself, my esteem is none at all. It is my father who esteems me, of whom you say that he is your father. You claim he's your daddy, but you ain't acting like him. That's what he tells them. Because why? Because if you were acting like him, you would love me. Oh boy. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. Cool. Ooh, boy. Look, you talk about hammer time. Hey, that's some hammering going on there. Your father Abraham was glad that he should see my day, and he did, and he saw it and did rejoice. Now, where did Abraham see that? In the Torah. Because in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, he says, and the word of Yehovah came to him in a vision. Man, that's Yeshua brings you right back to where it all started. Back with Abraham. How thankful we are because of him, that he listened. Now, we've seen a couple hang up in his life, but he kept pressing on. The master, Yehovah wasn't done with Abraham. Not yet, anyway, because we hadn't had the baby yet. Hey, we need the baby. How you know the baby having Isaac is so important? Amen. The Yehudim therefore said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Still thinking in the flesh. They can't get out of it because they're so fleshly minded and their traditions and everything else that they can't see past their own eyelids. They claim, but he said, I'll be like you, I'll be a liar like you because you say you know him. Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. Wow. That really blew their mind. I'm going to show you that right quick. I got my 10-minute card, boy. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Yeshua was hidden and went out of the set-apart place, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, I got to go back up all what I just read. Because he said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. Now, we got to deal with that. Let's go to John, which we're already there. But let's go to the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. He was in the beginning with Elohim. He always was in the plan of Elohim. That, trust me, Elohim didn't wait till the fall of man, like we don't call the fall, and to say, well, you're going to have a seed. He's been in the plan. If we have to take our time and sit down and let the Word teach us through the set-apart Spirit, because he was in the beginning with Elohim. So that would make him the first. Not second. Don't make Abraham. Let me read it to you again. He was in the beginning with Elohim, period. There was not a question there. Or who was in. He was in the beginning with Elohim. All things came to be through him. Why? Because he is the door. If you were here last night, you're going to know that he was the door. You have to go through him. And without him, not even one came to be that came to be. That almost sounds a little tongue twisting right there. All things to be came to be through him, and without him, you can do naught. That's what he said. Not even one came to be that came to be. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. What did he say? I am the light of the world. And if you found it, you got life through him this morning. Man, I don't know how, it can't be any plainer than that. Just leave it right there where it says in the light of him was life. And that light shines in the darkness. Where was Abraham? Passing between the parts, where he was, what was behind him? That frightening dark. For those of you who were here for that message, that frightening dark was there with Abraham. But what did we see all of a sudden? A burning oven, a smoking flax, passed between the parts, making that covenant with Abraham. Even though it was darkness, that's all right, the light was there. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No matter what darkness tries to do in your life today, it can't overcome the light. If you're walking in the light and you stay in the light, darkness can't, it doesn't matter. It might be scary. It might not feel comfortable at times. But you have the light of you. Amen. He is the light in you. Let me rephrase that better. He's the light in you. And it can't overcome you. Because why? When you flick the switch on, light comes on. Where's darkness? There you go. There was a man sent from Elohim whose name was Yohanan. This one came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. I love, we're all witnesses this morning to him. We have to take that light with us wherever we go. We can't hide it under a basket. Look, if you're ashamed of it, then what? We know what the scripture says. He said, I'll be ashamed of you. So we need the light. How important it is, we need it. Every day. I know I do. We need it every day. And John, this one came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and all might believe through him. He was not the light, that light, but that he might bear witness of that light. He was the true light. This, look, there are many lights out there that shine, but it's not the true light. The true light shines from within. And then we've seen that light in Abraham. We see that light shine. Because what he did, he opened up his house for hospitality. And we're going to get to the part where he, even though he was circumcised, he ran. He put past the hurt and all what was going on in his life to do what? To serve him. Boy, this stuff will preach if you let it. He was not that light, but that he might bear witness of that light. He was the true light, which enlightens every man coming into the world. There's a lot of people being born who don't know. I can attest to that, because I talked with a guy just a couple of weeks ago. He knew nothing about the scripture, about the light. He knew nothing about, he knew a little bit about God, which you mentioned words like that, but he knows nothing about the light. He just thinks, just every day, living. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, and the world did not know him. What we just read over here in chapter 8, who are you? That's what the question, who are you? Because they don't know the light. Man, well, I'm going to save the rest maybe for Midrash or something. We have something to talk about or visit with the friends here from COY. But I'm going to stop right there. But this stuff is so important that we need it. I needed to hear. I needed to get it out, because it's been in my notes since the last Torah portion. I've been holding on to this stuff. So it comes out. You know, y'all knows when it's time to come out. And we're going to bear witness to that. Because look, we're going to have encounters. We're going to have to bear witness of that light. I say, this is who we are. This is who I am. I know my Father. We should all know him. Amen? All right. Well, thank you all for coming. We got some great stuff. Food next door. Y'all enjoy yourself.